with Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude, from those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people, redeemed by your blood, purchased from death by your love. There are no words good enough to thank.
This morning, greet one another.
Show a little of love and kindness. Never go around with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little love to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy. Discouraged on life's road. See
Well, good morning. It is great to see all of you. Seems like I haven't seen some of you since last year. There we go. I got a few chuckles from that. But we do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We've got several people that are still traveling for the holidays, trying to get a few little last vacations in before school restarts this coming week. Okay. And so we want to say welcome to those of you that are visiting this morning. We hope you guys feel welcome and right at home this morning. Hopefully you all had a chance to grab a bulletin on your way in this morning. There's a few announcements I want to briefly touch on. One that is not in your bulletin that I forgot to announce last week. If there are any of you that want to get offering envelopes to put your offering in throughout the year, we have several packages of envelopes in the office. You can see Sue and get those from her. So anyone interested in getting offering envelopes throughout the entire year, you can pick those up from the church office anytime. Directly following service, we are going to be having a quick finance meeting. So if you're part of the finance committee, please stay for that. Then tonight, we've got a special service. Tonight, we are having a come-and-go communion service. So out on the Welcome Center, there's two different sign-up sheets. One is for you to sign up for your time slot to meet here in the sanctuary with the pastor between 5 and 7. And then right beside that one, there's another sign-up sheet. You can pull and take it with you. It's a prayer request sheet. And that will kind of give the pastor an idea on any items in your life that maybe you're seeking specific or special prayer for. So feel free to take one of those, fill those out, and you can return that to the church office at any time. But that is tonight from 5 to 7. There will be finger foods and fellowship in the fellowship hall during that time, so feel free to come at any time, but please make certain to sign up for an actual time slot between 5 and 7 for that tonight. Those of you ladies that are part of the Giggles Council, you'll be meeting tomorrow night here at the church at 6:30, and then there's also a Vision Committee meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here at the church. Just a reminder that coming up on the 23rd of this month, it is a Saturday, the men's prayer group will meet for breakfast at 8 o'clock here at the church. And then from the 29th and through the 31st, the ladies have their annual ladies retreat down in Branson for that. And we've started a new month, so that means we're focusing on a new school building here in the district to lift up in prayer. And that school is the Century School Building, just past the community center there on North Street. So be lifting that school up in particular this month for prayer. Thank you.
Through your mission given, we indeed sponsor a couple of different children. And if any of you are interested in sponsoring children individually, we can get you that information through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries and our Nazarene Missions International. So thank you for your continued mission giving through Faith Promise and other offerings throughout the course of the year, that we might continue to minister to those who are less fortunate than us, not only here in our community, but around the world.
I don't think you can say too much about missions. We are an active church in all missions, including foreign missions and in our country, compassionate ministries. Probably y'all have heard about all of the flooding. You may have experienced some of it at your place. I know one of our families did, but the church at Republic, the basement was flooded, and Compassionate Ministries is going to help them try to recover. They lost their carpeting, the cabinets, water in the walls. We don't know the extent of damage yet, but all of these are outreach parts of our church. In fact, we had missionaries on the foreign field before the church was ever officially recognized as a church. So God has been good, and our church has been very active. So if you have a chance to participate, regardless of where it is in missions, please take that opportunity to do so. We have a group that's going to Papua New Guinea to build bathrooms and shower facilities near a hospital. The hospital, the nurses, the doctors' corps have done without these kind of facilities. We take our showers for granted. They don't have any. And so a group from our district is going the 1st of February to construct showers and bathrooms for that hospital facility. Also, we're taking a group in August to Alaska, August the 2nd through the 10th. So if you would be interested, why, we have a spot for you that you could slip right in. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time and to take our weekly tithes and offerings. Bob, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the new year. Bless each and every one that's here today, and bless those who are sick and who couldn't be here, those who are traveling. Bless them, give them traveling mercies, and we ask that you would bless this offering now and pray that it would go for thy intended use. We'll ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Precious. sin runs deep. Your grace is more. What grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
As we encounter the challenges of a new year, that we would be rather foolish to try to tackle all that is ahead on our own. I sense God's presence here this morning. He wants to be a part of each of your lives as this 2016 begins. He wants to prosper you according to the scripture, as your soul prospers. You know, spiritual things always come first with God. He's not opposed to you enjoying the blessings of this life. God is not opposed to material things. But it is His desire that He be first and foremost in your life and in your thoughts. And that as you honor Him, as you prioritize your relationship with Him, then He in turn can bless and protect and provide and watch over you. The truth of the matter is, we need to know right up front that just becoming a Christian is not a guarantee that there won't be challenges. Jesus Himself said in this life, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. So what He's saying to us is there can be these momentary, these temporary challenges, but He loves us. And He's greater than any one individual situation. He's greater than any one person. He is able to see us through to the other side. And so we have to see the big picture and the long term, and think in terms of eternity. As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, I want to say thanks to you for the ministry that you have been carrying on through these last few months. And indeed, I have several thank you cards that are out on the bulletin board from the schools that you have been praying for from month to month here in the Nixa school system, and the teachers that we have taken pastries to, our pastries and prayer program. But here is one of your own. We'd like to thank our church family for the beautiful flowers, cards, prayers, and food during my recovery from surgery. We would especially like to thank those who picked up medication, bags of ice, and transportation to the doctor and physical therapy. We greatly appreciate everyone's thoughtfulness, kindness, and giving of their time to help us out. Chris, and Dan Downing. And so Chris is recovering from a knee surgery. We hope they were back, I think, in Sunday school this morning. We hope that they'll be able to be with us for the entire morning here before long and be a part of the services once again. And we have others that that are about to traveling today that we want to remember. We have some in Minnesota and some in California, and they'll be coming back at some point in time. And so you pray that God will bless them in their time of fellowship with their families, but that He will watch over them and give them traveling mercies as they return home. And then sometimes you look up out into the crowd and you see some folks that you don't know exactly where they might have come from, but you trust that God will watch over them and protect them and keep them as they come and go. And then there are others that come from places like Oklahoma. How's Eric and Valerie and their family back there? Glad to have you visiting with us today. Good to have you back home, even though Oklahoma was home first, so we have to give in to that. But great to have you with us in the service today. Blessings on you. The holiday season is a wonderful time, and people come and go. That's the way it ought to be, being with family and things. And so we look forward to many things that as we begin a new year. The church obviously looks a little different this morning. We had all the beautiful Christmas decorations that we enjoyed for a month, and folks have come in and made those disappear. And we thank you for your labor to take care of God's house and to make it a beautiful place. And through these special services, we've had some services that we didn't have. We had other special services that took the place of regular services. But isn't it great to have the band back together this morning? Praise team, yeah, sounds good. We're glad to have them all back and with us. And so we thank the Lord for them. Everyone has a place and a purpose. Everyone. There is nobody that God loves any more than any other person. That's hard for us to understand because we're attached to those people that are close to us and that we know, and people that are strangers that we read about in the paper. We say, oh, that's sad, but then we kind of don't think about it anymore. But you have to realize that every person in creation is God's child. He feels about them the same way you feel about your children. And as we come to this place of prayer this morning, He's concerned about what concerns you. His heart is heavy over what makes your heart heavy. And these altars are open to you this morning, as they are every Sunday morning, that you might have a place to lay down burdens and to lift up praise. And we continue to remember those items that are indeed within our prayer list in the bulletin of this morning. And we want to remember particularly Bert Mills, who is in the Maples and is recovering some fractures in her leg. And then we want to remember this morning Ruth. Sister Ruth lost her sister-in-law just in these last couple of days. And pray that God would touch her and her health. And then my sister Sue this morning has been struggling a little bit. And so we appreciate your prayers for her. My brother Eddie is out of the hospital and back in his house. And so we appreciate your prayers and your thoughts regarding that. Continue to remember these many that folks right here within our presence this morning. There are folks here that are overcoming physical maladies, and surgeries, and sickness and illness. And then there are folks that are trying to overcome some financial challenges right here in this place this morning. They're here, and the enemy's on them, trying to defeat them and discourage them. This is God's house. This is God's place. This is what it's like when you come home. I still remember the days of walking into my mom and dad's house and feeling like that was the safest place in the world. This is your father's house. You're at home here. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He cares for you. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to sing together, and as we sing, these altars are open to you. You need a place of prayer. Nobody's going to come to you. This is just your place to meet with God, to lay things down, to lift up praise and thanksgiving. Then we'll lift our voices together after we sing in prayer this morning.
Lord, we praise you.
Father, we are indeed grateful to you. We owe you everything. We have absolutely no value on our own. We can't save ourselves. We couldn't make it into eternity with you on any merit of our own. And so as we have just kind of bypassed now the Christmas season and celebrated the babe in the manger, we begin to continue to live out the life that he lived in example for 33 years before us. A life submitted to you. A life about honoring you and pleasing you. A life of allowing God's power and love to flow through him into the lives of others, touching them emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Lord, that's our desire today. Our desire today is that we'll be a vessel, that we'll be a light, all those things that the Scripture says that we could be. That indeed that your love will flow through us, your power will reside in us, and that as we go about our daily lives, that that's going to spill over and show out to some people out there that they can see it and to participate in it. Lord, that we can be vessels to direct them to you. We want this church to be a salvation station. We want to be bringing people into relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all of your blessings. Man, we're just coming through the Christmas season and sharing gifts with one another and giving to friends and family. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. And Lord, sometimes we get a little excited about giving. We may need some extra blessing now when the credit card bill comes due. Lord, nobody ever gave more than you did. You gave your son, Jesus Christ. He shed his blood on a cross. And then you raised him from the tomb. And now we have the opportunity to be a part of the resurrection. And so, Lord, we begin already now the journey from the manger to the cross and the tomb. We begin to get excited about celebrating Easter. Lord, we're excited about celebrating you every day. Every Lord's Day, every other day. When we wake up in the morning, we realize that we have hope because you are a part of our lives. And that no matter what the devil throws at us, you are greater than. Lord, if we'll just yield ourselves to you, you indeed will live in us and through us, and the devil will be defeated. And Jesus will be lifted up and others will come to know you because of what they see in our lives. That's what we want to happen. Thank you for the blessings of the holiday season. Thank you for the beautiful sights and sounds. Thank you for every nativity that we saw that remind us that God so loved the world that he sent his son. For every wise men and every story of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we heard, Lord, remind us to be givers, to honor the King by giving what we have, which is our lives. Lord, wise men still seek him. Give us wisdom today that we might pursue Christ. And Lord, we still have the promise that there's a God in heaven who loves us and wants the best for us, wants to give good gifts to us, speaking most of all of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us through this life. And so, Father, we want this to be a Spirit-filled 2016. We pray for your physical touch upon those who are less than full health potential today. You're the great physician. Touch them, Lord. You're the greatest psychologist ever walked the earth. So, Lord, those who are discouraged and depressed today and oppressed, we pray, Lord, that you would instill within them, reignite the flame of hope that there's a better day coming and that God will help us through every one of the days that we're here. And so, with his help, God is for us. who can be against us? And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We claim these promises of the Word of God. Bring them into our lives to take on the challenges of each new day. Lord, we love You today. We know that You loved us first. So, Lord, forgive us our sins. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Sanctify us wholly, that we might truly sing and live victory in Jesus. Lord, there's nothing You can't do. And like the Apostle Paul said, there's nothing we can't do through You. So, Lord, take away our discouragement. Take away our defeatist attitude. Give us the joy of Jesus and let us walk out of here ready to shine our light to a world that needs to overcome lostness and the heaviness of this world. For all this, we will be eternally grateful. And we give You our praise, and we are excited about the potential of this new year in You. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, each and every one. How many of you have ever seen a silver oval on the automobile ahead of you with three bright red A's? AAA. American Automobile Association. AAA. Roadside assistance. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, when you didn't have a silver AAA sticker on your car, wouldn't it be nice to be able to afford AAA and have people who would come and check your battery or bring gas to you on the roadside or whatever it is that you might have bought into in terms of membership? But when you see that silver oval with those three red A's in it, there are things that come to your mind like protection and provision and safety and kind of a covering, insurance, so to speak. And so I thought it might be interesting this morning, and as I have prayed and as God has led us to a passage of Scripture in Ephesians and several others that we'll refer to, that we might look at the new year and a new self, that we might approach the three A's that indeed can help us to negotiate the journey of 2016 with the confidence that people who have that silver oval with those three red A's negotiate the highways on their journey, knowing that if something goes wrong, they're just a call away. And God is just a call away. He is always near. He's always watching over us. He's always protecting us. We just need the call. Now, I know that AAA does not want all of their members to check in with them every day and just say, hey, it's me. I want you to know I don't need you today. Everything's okay. Just want to tell you how well my car's performing. That battery you put in for me last week, it's working real well. They don't need you to tie up the lines because of all the people that are calling that need help. But the really cool thing about God is His line's never busy. He's always ready to hear from you. He desires to hear from you on a daily basis, on a regular basis. He wants to have that conversation with you. Not only does He provide all of that umbrella protection, but He just wants to hang with you.
I wonder how cool people would think AAA was if the CEO of AAA were to knock on your house and say, hey, I noted that you're a member of AAA, and so today I just want to hang out with you and make sure everything's okay. Let's talk about your cars. Let's talk about your life. Let's just talk about whatever's important to you. Then you'd think maybe you got your money's worth out of your membership, you know. But see, that's how God is. God hangs with us every day. And God wants to hear about what's going on in our lives. And God wants to provide this umbrella of protection. But we need to submit these three A's in our life to Him in order to negotiate this journey safely. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we find within this passage some words that allude to the three A's that we're going to talk about this morning. That if indeed if we will yield these areas of our life to the all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful God, that we will have His protection and provision as we negotiate the journey that we call 2016. You see, if we look into these passages of Scripture, He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So we're going to talk for just a few moments this morning about your affections. What are your desires? What do you desire most? We're going to talk about your attitude. He goes on to say, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And then we're going to talk about your actions, which is, he says, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We're going to talk about our conduct. Affections, attitudes, and actions. If we can submit these three areas of our life into the Lordship of Jesus Christ, under the mastery of God and our Heavenly Father, then we stand a much better chance of successfully and in an attitude, a spirit of peace in our heart and mind. May not be peace going on around us sometimes. We can be at peace on the inside, though, even when the stuff is going on the outside. So let's talk for just a moment this morning about affections. The word affection is defined as attraction, attachment, liking, devotion, or fondness. And the Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Was doing some reading and I ran across a statement. You know, how many of us at some point in time in our life have wished that we could be rich and famous? Probably as much or more rich than famous. We could probably get by without being known if we just had all the money we wanted and do all the things we wanted and lived comfortably and all those kinds of things. But you know, that there's a struggle for people who have everything materially and more than they can ask for. They sort of become obsessed sometimes with things. Their priorities are altered. On the set of a particular movie one time, the actress Sophia Loren sobbed to an Italian movie director, Vittorio De Sica, over the theft of her jewelry. And this is what he said to her. Listen to me, Sophia. I am much older than you, and if there is one great truth I have learned about life, it is this: never cry over anything that can't cry over you. That's pretty good wisdom. The truth of the matter is, stuff is never as valuable as people. Stuff is never as great as relationship. And what a great word of advice that indeed we should only cry over the things that can cry over us in return. How many of you believe that God cries over you? How many of you believe that like a parent, when we make a bad decision or we go a wrong way or we live rebellion, how many of you believe that breaks God's heart? Not because He wants to be Lord of everything over you, but because He knows what's best for you. And He knows in the long run, the decisions we make are going to affect us and the relationships we have with other people. And He sees and knows what's best, and He's trying to guide us and give us that take on life. But sometimes we don't get it. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4 that reads like this: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Let me ask this question. We go back to the definition of affections being things that we are attracted to or attached to, or that we like, or that we devoted to, or that we have a fondness for. What are the things in life that you desire? What do you want more than anything else? You know, things have changed for me. And I'm not saying that I'm the example you should follow, but Paul said in the Scripture, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that's the point that every one of us as a Christian ought to be at. The people should be able to follow us as a pointer to Christ Himself. But you know, when I was a kid growing up, and they would ask me, and my mom and dad would take me, you know, to see Santa Claus at the store, wherever it was, and or my relatives would say to me, or even my folks would say to me, what do you want for Christmas? Man, I could break out the Sears catalog and go to town. And I might have seen a TV commercial. I thought just everything. Mattel was always really good, you know. They had great commercials when you were a kid growing up, and Hot Wheels and you know, all that stuff. And man, I could reel off those Saturday morning cartoons. You know, I memorized all the commercials. I could remember in a year's time all the commercials, all the stuff I'd seen watching Saturday morning cartoons. I could tell my mom that all those things that I really wanted and needed for Christmas. About a month ago, my daughter called me from Kansas City. She said, "What do you want for Christmas?" I said, "I want my daughter to come home and bring her husband and my grandson with her." You know, stuff's just stuff. God owns all the stuff. What He's looking for is a relationship with you. That's what He values. And what we need to value is our relationship with Him. If we desire what God desires for us, then it's going to be easy for Him to answer the prayer of giving us the desires of our heart. We need to learn to value those things that have eternal value. Listen to Paul as he wrote to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." That's where we need to live our lives. When we desire what God desires for us, then He can give us the desires of our heart. And how can we truly profess Christianity if we want something other than what God wants for us? That's impossible, isn't it? To be a Christ follower and want something contrary to what God wants for us? And so it tells us a little bit of something about where our affections are at when we know that we're maybe pursuing something, a relationship or a thing that's not really what God has for us. I don't think God has ever made any exceptions to any of His rules for anybody in the Scripture. I had a lady tell me one time that when she married a man who was an unbeliever, but God told her at that point in time that it was okay because he was going to become a believer. Now, when she was telling me this story and I was her pastor, he had already become a believer and had been a believer for many years. And so that sounded like a great ending. But I told her, I said, "Carrie, God did not tell you that. Because God does not take what he wrote in black and white in the scripture and say, you're the one exception. You don't have to live by the Bible. And the Bible tells us very clearly that it is God's desire that we not be linked together with unbelievers. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, and I don't want to try to pick a fight with you, but God didn't tell you that. You wanted that so bad that you rationalized that, and you made it okay. And aren't we good at that? And isn't the devil good at helping us? We need to set our affections on those things that God wants for us. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, it says this: for he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. And so we want to have our desire on the things that are right, the things that have eternal value. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19 says this to us. It comes out of the parable of the sower. It says, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If we read something in the Word and what we desire is contrary to what we read, what should we do with that desire? We need to submit to God and get rid of it. We need to realize that's something that we don't want to set our affection on. We need to realize that's a desire that we don't need. We're looking for things that will take us through to eternity and living forever with God in His great heaven. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I know that death is an emotional time for us, and a lot of times I've presided over many funerals in 35 years. And people will come and put stuff in those caskets. And I know what's going on there, and people need closure, and people need to be able to deal with cancer. There's nothing wrong with that, but I assure you, those things aren't going to heaven or any other place that someone might venture to in eternity. That stuff will be in that casket, in the ground, when that person's spirit and soul is long gone. Stuff is temporal. What are our affections set on this morning? Do we desire things? Is our career path based on achieving a certain type of housing and a certain type of car and a certain type of bank account and having that prestige and that recognition? Or are our values or our desires on pleasing God? If you research the life of Jesus, you'll find that what he talked about was, I want to please the Father. I want to do the will of him who sent me. That's the example he laid out before us, and that's the example that we ought to follow. What are your affections this morning? If we submit our affections to God and we desire what he desires for us, it's going to move us successfully in 2016. We also need to give him our attitudes. An attitude is a mental position or feeling with regard to an object or a situation. Let me share something with you. I almost forgot to do it, but at the conclusion of point one, I am just reminded there are people that have had great impact in life. One of those that we have learned about in the history books is Patrick Henry. He made this statement as we walk away from the section on our affections. I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that, and I had not given them a single shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed. The words of Patrick Henry. The faith of our fathers. That's the faith that we need. The faith to share things that are of eternal value, things that are indeed of lasting value in our life. But what about our attitudes? It is a mental position of feeling with regard to an object or situations. Listen to what the Scripture says to us. And this is so black and white. It's not like there are options presented here. For if we look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we read these words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Do you need a biblical scholar to come from seminary to interpret that for you? I'm thinking that's pretty straightforward. That the word is very clear that any attitude in us that is not as the attitude of Christ, we probably need to get rid of. We probably need to allow the Holy Spirit to do some spiritual laser surgery on us and remove those attitudes, those mental positions, those feelings that we have in regard to people and things around us. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. It's a little hard to take that passage and believe that sinning religion is okay. Understanding that sin is defined as a willful and knowledgeable transgression. In other words, it's not something I do by accident or through a mistake or through some weakness. It's an act of rebellion. It's defiance. It's knowing the right course and taking another course. And the Scripture here says, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now, we're never going to be absolutely perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And then sometimes we're going to have to realize those mistakes, and then we're going to be accountable for going back and making an apology or for correcting a situation or for making restitution. We need to do those things. But I assure you that God has the power and ability through His Holy Spirit in you to give you guidance and direction so that you can make right decisions. That's why he wrote, and they don't have this one on the screens, but that's why he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that there's not any temptation that comes that's not common to all men, and that with every temptation there's a way out. And so if temptation is not sin and every temptation has a way out, then why should we take the lie out of hell from the devil that we're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed and think that's good Christianity? Now, the enemy likes to cloud this issue, and I don't have time to do a whole other sermon on that this morning. But here's what I'm telling you. That song, Victory in Jesus, that's good stuff. God wants to help us to have a clear conscience, to be at peace with our Maker and with each other. And you're not going to be able to please every person on the face of this earth, and they're not all going to think you're doing the right thing. But you can pillow your head at night and know that you've done your very best to honor your Father in heaven. To know that it's well with your soul. You don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to wonder if we're going to get to go to heaven. We don't have to wonder if we're going to make it. We can know. Is the attitude really everything? You know, several years ago, I became a member for a period of time of the Optimist Club, and I'll tell you the reason that I did. First of all, I was a younger person, and the Optimist Club is known as the Friend of Youth. And I wanted to be a part of a civic organization. I thought, that's a good organization, doing things to help young people. But this is what really, really sold me on membership in the Optimist Club. Because they have a creed. And this is the Optimist Creed. To be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. To talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet. to make all your friends feel that there is something in them. To look at the sunny side of everything and make your optimism come true. To think only of the best, work only for the best, and to expect only the best. To be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as you are about your own. To forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater achievements of the future. To wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give every living creature you meet a smile. To give so much time to the improvement of yourself that you have no time to criticize others. And to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble. And I read that creed and I thought, man, that sounds an awful lot like another book I've read. Because all of the things that are in this Optimist Creed, nobody secular thought up. These are the principles that God told us a long time ago about how to live with each other in His Scriptures. What filters do we process life through? What is our attitude about life? And is our attitude like that of Christ Jesus? And then there's this issue of our actions. Maybe I could better define this word actions by saying our conduct. How do we live? How do we perform each day? What are we actually determined to do about life? I want to read to you a passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. There's a story that's told that while Queen Victoria was a child, she didn't know she was in line for the throne of England. I don't know if she could even understand that. Her instructors, trying to prepare her for the future, were frustrated because they couldn't motivate her. She just didn't take her studies seriously. And finally, her teachers decided to tell her one day that she would become the Queen of England. Upon hearing this, Victoria quietly said, "Then I will be good." The realization that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her conduct from then on. Folks, when we realize that God so loved us that He sent His Son, and we confess our sins and our acts of wrongdoing to Him, and He lets the precious blood of Jesus cover our sins and bring salvation into our life, that high calling ought to change the way we behave. It ought to have an impact on the way we live. It shouldn't become an excuse or a license for poor behavior just so we can be forgiven. Paul said in his Scriptures, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, absolutely not. Something should happen in our mind. Something should happen in our heart. Our affections will be changed. Our attitudes will be changed. Our actions will be changed. Our conduct will become what God desires for it to be, because our lifestyle, folks, is an expression of what's in our heart. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 read like this. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. God doesn't compare us to other people. The only comparison that Scripture has ever alluded to is that we should look at the life of Jesus Christ and we should live to attain that relationship with the Father just as Jesus had. That our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That we should be yielded to the Lordship of God the Father. That we should be about doing the will of the Father. That what makes us happy is pleasing the Father. James chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 read like this. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. The Scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Don't misunderstand this Scripture. Works will not save you. There is no amount of good things you can do that will earn you a ticket into heaven. But what it explains is that the things we do are the outpouring of the desires and the relationship that we possess. Works are the evidence of relationship. The reason you spend time fixing up the house where your wife lives, gentlemen, is because you're proving your love. And when she needs something done, you try to get her done. Because you know there's reciprocal behavior in there. And if you do things that please her and make her happy, she in turn does things that please you and make you happy. And when people are trying to please each other, man, there's this wonderful thing that happens. But when people start defending their own turf, start saying, here's the deal. I married you, and so here are your obligations to me. And we start pulling away from each other. That's where divorce takes place. Because we cease then to try to please the other individual. Jesus said, the reason I exist here on this earth is to please my Father, to do my Father's will. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. That should be the reason for our actions. Our conduct is the evidence of our love for God, doing those things that please Him. And the truth of the matter is, we're all familiar with that phrase that says, actions speak louder than words. First John chapter 3 and verse 18 reads like this. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So your actions don't earn you anything. Your actions are the proof of who you are. Your actions are not some kind of currency that you spend. Your actions are just the outpouring of your heart, the manifestation of your love. A man in the army of Alexander the Great, who was also named Alexander, was accused of cowardly actions. He was brought before Alexander, who asked what his name was, and he replied softly, Alexander. I can't hear you, the ruler stated. The man again said a little louder, Alexander. The process was repeated one more time, after which Alexander the Great commented, either change your name or change your conduct. Every one of us who professes to have confessed our sin and received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior takes on the name Christian. And with that title, with that name, comes an expectation from the rest of the world and from heaven itself that we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling and our name and in accordance to the Scripture that's set before us. So if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you better have the conduct. Change your conduct. Because profession alone won't cut it. If you get to heaven, the judge of all judges and the ruler of all rules, who knows your heart better than you do, will not simply let you in because you'd like to go. Because you are who you say you are. And don't miss the point. I don't want to be legalistic here. I don't want this to be about rules and regulations, because there's a lot of man-made rules and regulations, to be quite honest. They're a waste of time. But here's what I'm saying. That God set forth in His Word a lifestyle and a conduct that He has every right to expect us to live out. So take what is God's and absorb it and apply it and allow it to set your course of conduct. Because it's what makes the Father happy. I assure you that if you are pursuing God and that you have asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that He will clarify to you what is of Him and what is of man. And when the Spirit of God gives you guidance and direction, you need to heed and follow it. If you want a successful 2016, then submit to the Heavenly Father your affections, your attitudes, and your actions. And I assure you that He'll give you guidance. And He'll watch over you, provide peace in your heart, and you will indeed have a prosperous and successful 2016. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, sometimes we can do our best and we feel like we've fallen short of trying to really express something. That's kind of where I am at this morning. Lord, I don't want this to be about legalism. I don't want it to be about keeping rules. I don't want it to be about any of those kinds of things. I want it to be about us submitting our lives to the will of the Heavenly Father. And Lord, that as You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that everything within us would be submitted to that Spirit. And that You indeed would make us however You want us to be. And that as we pursue You, as we pray, and as You give us guidance, that we simply will follow Your will and Your direction for our life. And a lot of that's laid out in black and white in the Word. So, Father, help us to take advantage of what is there, that the Word might be revealed and open to us. And then, Lord, through inspiration, would You further guide us in the direction that You want us to go. Lord, You said in Your Word that if we can't be trusted with the little things, You're not going to move us on to other things. And so, Lord, if we can't do what's in black and white, we're probably not going to get outside revelation. So, Lord, just help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourself. And, Lord, to continue to read Your Word, attend Your services, do everything we possibly can to know more about You and know You better, and then just yield ourselves to that knowledge and that presence in our life. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that just needs a place of prayer, these altars are open. If you're here today and you just like a place to yield your life and just say, you know, kind of been doing my own thing, going my own way, but I really want to be who and what God wants me to be in 2016. And so, Lord, I come this morning to submit to You my affections and my attitudes and my actions so that You can protect me on this journey. Anybody like that this morning that needs a place of prayer? These altars are open to You. Tonight, we'll have a come-and-go communion service. For those of you who've never been a part of a come-and-go communion service, what this simply means is, rather than us having a service here in the sanctuary where everyone will be here and we'll sing and preach and all those kind of things and then have communion, that because I want to know you a little better and because I don't always have the time to be at all of your houses, if you so desire, there's a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center in between 5 and 7, and sometimes it goes past that, but that's our target. If we need more than that, we'll take more than that. But there are time slots where you can sign up, and you will come and arrive here at the Fellowship Hall where there'll be finger foods and fellowship, and at as close to the appointed time as I can stay on schedule, then your family will come, your family together, your whole family, as you've signed up, will come in And I will serve communion to you and your family. And there's a form out there that has prayer requests, a place for you to put prayer requests. And I'd like for you to take those today as you sign up. And you can have time today to think about that and write those down. Because what I'm going to do is I'm not only going to pray over those things with you tonight and pray for God to bless your family in 2016, but I'm going to hang on to those things. And I'm going to do my best to pray over your family and your needs over these next few weeks and months. If you need to add something or take something off the list, you can call me and tell me. And we'll update the list. But that'll just give me a working reference point to be able to pray over you and your family in the throne room of God this year. But we would love to have you come. You're welcome to come. You can sign up. And then we'll serve you communion and pray God's prosperity over your family as you come in tonight. And then you can fellowship with others while you're waiting. And we do this from time to time. Gives us a little bit of personal time with you. And so we're so glad that you're part of this church family. And so we look forward to spending some time with each of you tonight if you'd like us to. So let's stand together. God is good. His presence has been with us this morning. And our prayer certainly is that you indeed will have a great 2016. I promise you that if you put God at the top of it, and first and foremost, it'll go better. And so may His blessing be upon you. Well, it's great to see you, all of you. The holidays are fun because people come and go, and we get to see people we don't always get to see. So we're glad that you're here this morning. Trust that God's blessing is upon you. Some of our college students are going to be returning here within a couple of weeks, probably, back to campuses. And we've been glad to have you home as well. Appreciate you being here. And so just love each and every one of you, and trust that you have had a great holiday season as we get back into full swing the things of this year. If you have any thoughts or ideas, the Vision Committee is meeting tomorrow night. If you have any thoughts or ideas about that, write them on a slip of paper. You can bring them to me tonight. I'll turn them over to Brother Matt. Allen is the chairman of our Vision Committee. And we're going to be talking about the outreach programs that we'll be doing this year and things that we're going to do to reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ. So if you have some thoughts or ideas about that, we'd be glad for you to share them with us. And we'll take that to that committee and let them use those ideas as they plot out the course of the year. So God's blessing on each and every one of you. Going to ask our Sunday School superintendent, Brother Ben, if he will, to pray a closing prayer for us this morning, please.